الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us so much that no excuse remains except that we be grateful to Him and that we serve Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us so much that essentially we are left with no excuse. And we are forced to be thankful to Him and to serve Him. Now, that statement is very broad and is applicable to every single human being. But it's even more applicable to us in this day and age. It's very broad. It applies to every human being. Every human being has been given enormous blessings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Were they begin to count them, they would not be able to enumerate them. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed these enormous bounties upon humanity and human beings, it places them in a circumstance that they are forced to be thankful to Allah. They have no choice but to be thankful to Allah. And they are forced to serve Him. They have no choice but to serve Him. Because those bounties are so dominant that there's nothing else that remains. You know, the example is that if there is someone that does you a favor upon you, then eventually you feel an innate desire to thank that person. You know, let's just say that you're in some very difficult circumstance and all of a sudden somebody comes and provides you with a solution to that difficulty. Then you say, man, you saved my life. I've got to do something for you. Tell me, what can I do for you? And the person says, no, don't worry about it. You say, no, you saved my life. You took me out of this really difficult situation. Please, please tell me, what can I do for you? I want to do something for you. I feel like I had to do something for you. And that's the example of a small blessing or benefit that somebody bestows upon us or grants us or creates an opportunity for. But what about the circumstance where everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we've been given, it is all because of Allah. It is all from Allah. So what type of debt does that bind a person in? You know, last week we spoke about the fact that deen is a transaction and that no greater deal exists on the planet. I know, this is Black Friday just passed, everybody's talking about deals. There's no greater deal that exists on the planet that we can give our paltry deeds and return what Allah in essence has given to us and actually get Jannah for it. I mean, let me just give you an example. You know, you go to the store and the guy says, oh, there's this, big screen TV and it's on sale and it's normally $1,000 and I'll sell it to you for $300. So the person gets excited, $300, you know, he's running there, waiting in line, running, trying to get this. They offer one or two, and he's waiting in line and stepping over people's necks in order to get it. I mean, that's even not a good deal. I mean, in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, basically, Allah gives us the money and then says, go and buy what you want. I mean, Allah gave us time. Allah gave us tawfiq. Allah created us. Allah gave us energy. Allah gives us the food. Allah gives us our wealth. And then all we do is return that back to Him. We take the time that He gave us and return it back to Him partially, not even completely. You know, like somebody gives you $1,000 and says, now pay me $300 and, you know, I'll give you this thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us everything and then expects us to give a little bit of that in return. And then in exchange gives us even more than what we could imagine. So there is no greater deal. But even beyond that, well, why don't I say this? In order to understand that, you have to be able to just understand the blessings that we've been bestowed with. Until we have a clear sense of the blessings we've been bestowed with, we'll never feel indebted. We'll never recognize what a great deal this is. Now, the people who transact in money every day, they buy and sell and they go to work and they earn money and they count their bank, they look at their bank account, they check it online, they're worried about how much they make, they're worried about, you know, what their status is. For those people, they quickly recognize that this is Black Friday and there's some very special deals and I need to get them. You know, these pair of gloves that I wanted to buy that are normally 100, they're 30 bucks. That's a big deal. So those people appreciate that because they're in that realm. They're thinking about that all the time. They're reflecting on that all the time. They're saving up to buy X, Y, and Z, or they know that they have to buy this many of, you know, one thing or another, and they recognize that that's a bargain. Until people recognize what Allah has bestowed upon them, then it's very hard for them to be able to understand the bargain. It's very hard for them to be able to comprehend all of the enormous blessings that have been bestowed upon us. Now, I'll just give you relative terms, okay? Forget about the fact that just we're human beings, we exist, we've been born into deen, we've been given, let's just take relative terms, okay? Let's start, pick a date, 1850. Let's just take an example, 1850. 1850 in America. What was life like in 1850? Okay, in 1850 in America, there was no electricity. Okay, there was no electricity. So what does that mean? That means that when it gets dark, it's dark. When it's light, it's light. If there's light in the dark, it's by candle or a little kerosene flame. There's no phone, there's no washing machine, there's no toaster, there's nothing. This is not that far along, 140 years ago roughly, 150 years ago roughly. No electricity, okay? What does the average household do in America in 1950? What's the job of the house? Okay, the women of the house, what did they do? They spend 1 week doing laundry. One whole week when they want, you know, the load of laundry that we pick up and we say, oh God, you know, I have to put this in the washer and I have to press the button, subhanAllah. That took 1 week to do. They would have to get the water because there's no running water, by the way, in 1850 either. They have to go get the water. They have to bring it in, they have to bring it to a place, whether that be inside or outside the house. They have a scrub board. They take the clothing. They have to rub it down by hand. Rub it down by hand. They have to squeeze it dry, piece by piece. And then they have to hang it, and it takes time for that to dry. Now, that happens in the winter, that happens in the summer. That happens in the rain, that happens when it's dry. That's life. So, similarly, what would they do the rest of the time? Then the rest of the time, they have to stitch the clothing. Because there's no store. You don't go to the store and buy clothing. That doesn't exist in 1850. There's no electricity. There's no washing machine. There's no refrigeration. Think about that. There's no refrigeration. You don't have the foods that are available. You only ate what was available in your locality. So in the north, they're eating potatoes. In the south, they're eating sweet potatoes because the normal potatoes, they don't survive in the temperatures in the south. Meat is like a delicacy. Meat is very, very rare to come by because there's no refrigeration. Where are you going to get the meat from? Whatever you can happen to have in that locality at that time. Fruits, nobody ate fruits in 1850. Nobody ate fruits. Apple was the one fruit that people would consume because that apple could last for a long time. But there was no way to even, if you have oranges in Florida, there's no way to even bring them to Chicago. How are you going to get them here? On a horse? It's going to take, by the time you bring them, they rot. So people are eating apples because apples tend to last a little bit longer than it was very rare, even just to eat fruit. Now, you think about in 150 years, how much life has changed, how many blessings we've been bestowed with. You know, if you asked anybody in 1850, Oh, you know, what do you wish? I wish I didn't have to do the laundry. I wish there was some magical machine that would do my laundry for me. I wish I didn't have to go and every day bring food and, you know, worry about what I would get the next day. I wish that clothing could just be provided to me. I don't have to sit there and stitch it. I wish I could take a hot bath. There was no hot bath. There was no heat. Forget about hot bath. There was no heat in the house. There was no central AC. There was no central heating. There was one room in the house. They used to have a fireplace. You would light the fire. You would sit by it. And you'd have to put it out before you went to bed. And they wouldn't all sleep in one room. Then they would retire to their rooms. And whatever the temperature was, that was the temperature. They would just put blankets over them and they would sleep. And by the way, this is how the whole world is functioning. Whole world is functioning. No electricity, no refrigeration, no washing machine, no running water, no indoor plumbing. You have to go to the bathroom. You have to 5-minute journey. You go walk far away someplace. And then you come back. There's no central plumbing. Now, look, in the context of that, by the way, I mean, life was very difficult. That's not only that. Average age expectancy at that time, average age expectancy was 42 years. People lived till average 42 years old. Now, what's the average today? I mean, 70-something today. 42 years people would live, and they would work. Why would they die? Because they worked so hard, they just dropped dead. Literally, they dropped dead from work. Or the disease. They would have 8-10 children because half would die. How would they maintain a family? They would maintain a family of 3 or 4 by having double the number of kids because half would die. Either in the right, you know, soon after birth or from disease. And disease was rampant. Disease was rampant. Now, you just take that point, you know. 1850, just take that point, roughly, you know, plus minus 20 years. And you look at the life of today, and then you ask, what excuse is there? You know, what do we even have to complain about? And how much sajda we would make just for the progress that has occurred in 1850 to now? That Allah gave the opportunity that when we have children, for the most part, they're healthy and they survive. That's a huge blessing. Allah gave that we have running water. That's such a huge blessing. Now, people don't want to get up and make a proper wudu today. And imagine, in that day, how hard it would be to go make wudu. There was no heated water. There was no running water. There was no place of water. You would have to go get the water. You'd be outside. If it's cold, it's cold. If it's warm, it's warm. That would be life. And all of these blessings that have been bestowed upon us, they create a responsibility upon us. See, we don't think. We just think that all this is some sort of gift given to us that we deserve. We don't reflect back and think what benefits we've been given. We would not, it would be very difficult for us to survive in those days. Very difficult for us to survive in the world the way it used to be. And look, it's now, unfortunately, Allah has bestowed so many blessings on us. Just, I'm speaking relatively in this 150-year period, and we're still complaining. We're still complaining. What do we have to complain about? Every blessing has, I mean, everything, you know, you can look at this historically. Whatever the history of humanity is on the planet, right? You can take the history of humanity on the planet, literally. From the existence of human beings till now, I'll tell you that, let's just arbitrarily make up a number. Let's say that human beings existed on the planet for 100,000 years. Okay, let's say the first prophet came 100,000 years ago. That's arbitrary. I'm not saying that that's the number. But what I will say is that in that 100,000 years, for 99,800 of those years, the kings were the kings and the common were the common. The kings had some amenities. They had some amenities. They had some comforts. They had some people to help them. They had some assistance, okay? For that, like, 99,800 roughly years. And what happened in the last 200 years? Even the common man lives like a king, like the king of old. Even a common man lives like the king of old. What does a common man today have? The common man today has a machine that blows cold air on them when it's hot. and blows a machine that blows hot on their hot air on them when it's cold. Now today the common man has plumbing. Today the common man has availability of all these different fruits and vegetables. Even the kings didn't have that. Even the kings didn't have that for the vast majority of human history. Now there's a disease, a person can go and pretty much get a cure for so many diseases. Antibiotics, chemotherapy, all surgery, all these things didn't exist. You got an infection, you got an infection. No king could protect themselves just against an infection just because they were a king. If they got appendicitis, they got appendicitis. It would hit a common man and it would hit a king equally. If they got an infection, if they got the flu, if they got a bacteria, they would get that equally. There was no special status given to the king as far as bacteria are concerned, or infections are concerned, or diseases were concerned. All of these blessings have been bestowed upon us, and we live in a time when the common man lives better than the kings for the vast majority of human history. Now, if the common man today lives better than the kings for the vast majority of human history, then what should that do? That should create a buffer of thankfulness and service that should be unparalleled in human history. We should be able to say to ourselves that because I have so many of these amenities and so much ease, I should be more prone to serve Allah. I should be more consistent in my ibadah. I should be more thankful. I should never have a word of complaint. But what happens is we get caught up in ourselves. We get caught up in this relativism. We look at other people and say, how come they have this? And how come they have that? How come they have this? But we should look behind us. It comes in hadith that we should always look at the people beneath us so that we can be thankful for what we've been given. You want to look at the people beneath us? Pick any human being that lived from 1850 before. Pick any human being, aside from those rare prophets and rare companions and rare special individuals who were given a proximity to Allah that we would dream of. But aside from that, looking at just from a dunyawi perspective, look from 1850, even 1900, pick a date, and look at all of humanity that came before and ask ourselves, are we better off than they were? In the vast majority, the answer to the vast majority of scenarios would be yes, maybe with the exception of deen, because deen is always more elevated and more prominent and more advanced at an earlier time, because those are closer to prophets. But aside from that, we've been bestowed with every blessing that a human being could ever desire. You want to go somewhere? You get in a car and you go. You don't have to get the horse ready, feed the horse, you know, make sure that the horse is all prepped, and then take 8 days to travel, you know, X number of miles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us cars. We literally just start the engine and we have to put a little bit of gas in there. And it safely and comfortably takes us in heating and in cool, in a heated cabin and in a cooled cabin, wherever we want to go. We want to go to Hajj, we just get on a plane. We get on a plane and we get to Hajj and we just comfortably get there in a few hours. Think about people used to have to come by ship and they would travel and travel and travel. It would be half a year's journey for some people. And how much difficulty they would endure. Allah has bestowed us with so many blessings that we literally are forced to never complain. It's a shame on us if we have any complaint about what Allah has bestowed upon us. We have been bestowed Jannah on earth, basically. Jannah is what? Jannah is whatever you want and however you want it, it comes immediately. In the vast majority of circumstances, we have pretty much what we want. We pretty much have what we want with a few things. And of course, it's limited. It's never perfect. Jannah is Jannah. You cannot compare it to dunya. That's obvious. But the point still remains that if we just take a moment to look at what humanity had been given before and what we've been given today, it should just place us in a constant state of sujood. I'm just reading, you know, I'm reading this information on what was 1850 like, and I'm just blown away. I can't believe it that people used to live like that so recently. And of course they lived, but they lived in those difficulties so recently. It's not that far away. And I'm thinking that even the most wealthy, and they're talking about like what would be the sign of wealth and what was the wealthy person's life like at that time. Even the most wealthy individual at that time did not live the way that we live today. They want to send a communication. You know, they're talking about like 1871, or I don't remember the date, 1869, 1871, when there was all this telegraphing that had occurred. And, you know, now you could send a telegraph and you could send information immediately. It was a big deal to send a telegraph. Now you send a text message anywhere throughout the world and you can group chat. Kings didn't have the ability to communicate the way that we do today. The kings did not have the ability to communicate the way that we do today. Kings did not have the choice of food that available to them that we have today. Kings did not have the means of transportation available to them that we have today. Kings did not have the comfort of living that we have today. Kings did not have the clothing that we have today. Kings did not have the amenities that we have today. Kings did not have the ability to get an education that we have today. There were the comforts. You can't even talk about it. So what excuse do we have? We are all living like kings. Literally, we are living like the kings of humanity that have come before us. So where is there any space for any complaint? We should be people in constant thanks and shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every blessing that He has bestowed upon us. And we should appreciate where we came from. We should appreciate the history that is before us. Pick up any book and read about the history of the people that came before. We just make an assumption that we have an internet, so they had an internet. We have heating and cooling, so they must have had heating and cooling. We have ease of transportation. They must have had ease of transportation. No, it's not like that at all. Food was extremely restricted to whatever was available, and you would cook in the afternoon and you would eat the same thing at night and probably the next day for breakfast if you had three meals a day. That was the way, that was the life of the wealthy in 1850. And look at the blessings that we have bestowed upon us. So we have to be, like I said in the beginning of this discussion, until we appreciate the blessings that have been bestowed upon us, we will never feel a sense of debt. And until we feel a sense of debt, it'll be difficult for us to thank our Lord. The mistake that we make is we look at the odd circumstance. Look at this billionaire. This billionaire seems to have more than I do. Or this millionaire seems to have more than I do. So therefore, I am not yet content because I also want that. But actually, all we have to do is turn the other way. There's like a rare example here, and there's extensive example of human history before us. If we just turned our head the other way and looked for a minute at what people used to have who came before us, and how the most wealthy, even the most wealthy, and the kings of old used to live, and how we live better than them today, that should be sufficient to help us to raise our awareness of the blessings that Allah has bestowed upon us. Now, you would say, oh, if I only had A, B, and C, then I would be a true servant of Allah. But we have all that. We've been given all that. We've been given the unique opportunity in human history to actually be absolutely focused on our Lord. It should be difficult for us to come up with a complaint. I should say to you, well, what's going on? You know, what, do you have anything to complain about? You say, what should I complain about? I have a washing machine. All my laundry is done in an hour. 2 hours. People used to spend the whole week doing laundry. I can do laundry in an hour or two. People wouldn't even wash their clothes for months on end because of how hard it was to do laundry. If I need clothing, I just press a button on the screen and clothing shows up at my door, that within 24 hours there's a box of clothing sitting at my door. People would be stitching clothing in their homes for months in 1850. If I want to eat any fruit, all I have to do is find it. I just go to the store. There's so many fruits, I don't even know how to choose. In fact, the vast majority of the time I buy them and they rot because I can't even eat as much as I purchased. This is life of today. So we've been bestowed everything, but that comes with a responsibility. The first and foremost is to be thankful to Allah. It's a test. And part of being thankful to Allah, or what's the requirement for being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to appreciate where we are and what has been bestowed upon us. Instead of sitting and saying, why don't I have this, and I wish I had that, and I wish I made this much more, and one day I'll have that, it should be the opposite. It should be, subhanAllah, I've been given so much, why have I been bestowed this? Ya Allah, thank you that laundry has been made so easy, that clothing has been made so easy, that food is readily available, that I have all the comforts of heating and cooling and running water and plumbing and the ability to use the washroom in the home without having to walk 5 minutes away. These are huge blessings. But beyond that, one, we should be thankful. But two, we should avail ourselves of these resources. We should recognize that because all these responsibilities have been lifted from our shoulder, it doesn't mean that we now try to pursue more dunya. It means that we've now been given the opportunity to expand ourselves in deen. If I don't have to do laundry, it's not so that I can run around and try to make more. It's so that now I can spend that time that I would have spent on that and serving Allah and advancing myself in deen. It should have been, it actually should have been this way, that the more ease that we have in life, the more we should be able to advance ourselves in deen. And that's what the wise person does. They take advantage of the freedom and flexibility of their time to be able to advance themselves in deen. And that's that challenge that befalls us. It's difficult for us in this day and age to pray five times a day or get to the masjid regularly or spend time learning deen. We have 100 excuses why we can't do A, B, and C. But we've been given every ease in order to achieve that. And don't think that, you know, somehow we're some special generation that because, you know, I don't know, we did something special, all of a sudden Allah has bestowed this upon us. Allah will judge everyone equally. It's not a relative process. It's an absolute, fair, across the board judgment that will happen on the day, on that last day. And the people before us, they may have excuses. This is how they had to live. You know, they lived only 40 years average. In order to make wudu, they would have to go out into the cold, or if they lived in a cold environment, or whatever the difficulties of the time were. We don't have any of those. We have no excuses. So we should use this abundance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us in order to increase our service of deen and in order to increase our focus on Allah. We should look behind and below, not ahead and above. When counting our blessings. When counting our blessings, we should look behind us and below us. We've been given so much more than the vast majority of the people alive today. And we've been given so much more than the vast majority of humanity that has stepped foot on this planet. I mean, just think about where we stand, you know, historically. We're like in the upper point 0.00001% of blessings that have been bestowed upon humanity as far as dunya is concerned. So what excuse do we have? We should never have a complaint. We should be constantly thanking Allah. If people come, you know, people come and ask us how things are, there should be no possibility that a complaint could arise from our tongues. If Rasulullah ﷺ taught the Sahaba at their time that they should not that they should seek protection from a complaining tongue, then who are we? Look at the life that they had to, you know, the difficulties that they had to bear. We should never have a complaint against our Lord. We should be in a constant state of thankfulness. We should be appreciative of all the blessings that He bestowed upon us, and we should be fearful that this will be taken to account for it on the day of judgment. And we should avail ourselves to serve deen through these blessings. If we have food, it's to energize ourselves in order to serve deen, not to celebrate as if we've ended up in some Jannah. If we have time, you know, the people used to wake up in the morning, they used to work, and they used to work until dark, and they used to work 6 days a week. The average work week at that time was 60 hours, and they would get sick. There would be injuries that would occur. They would be dealing with live horses and all these types of things where there was potential for injury. None of that exists today. Get in a car, you go to work, it's heated, it's air-conditioned, it's cooled. And we're in comfort constantly. We should be appreciative of that. And we should take advantage of that in order to serve deen. So the way by which we recognize a good deal is by understanding the entire deal. And to make our focus what opportunity Allah has placed before us. we should not be caught up in this life and thinking that somehow this life is some sort of special place. We should be ready to jettison this and say, yeah, Allah, this doesn't mean anything. Whatever you provided, but what matters to me is Jannah. And this is what I need to do to get there. So we constantly thank our Lord, and we take advantage of the opportunity that He's provided for us, which is what I spoke about last week, is a few things that Allah asks from us. Allah asks from us these few prayers in a day, fasting in the month of Ramadan, a little bit of sadaqah from our wealth in the name of zakah, and hajj once in a lifetime. There's a few things. They're very, very simple. And they don't require that much. But we should maximize on them to the best of our ability. Then, inshallah, we'll be able to partake of this amazing blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, which is our deen, which basically allows us to give a very, very small amount and receive a very, very big reward. It's a very small amount that Allah requires from us, but the reward is enormous. Permanent, infinite, and boundless. So there's no way these things, there's no equation, there's no computer, there's nothing that can reflect this bargain. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are able to appreciate all that He's bestowed upon us. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from ever complaining about any of His bounties. We ask that He make us among those whose tongue is protected from complaining, and instead whose tongues are constantly praising and being thankful for all that He has provided us. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.